Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. On this past Monday, my wife and I had some time together in the car as we were actually driving to Eugene to pick up Sean and Alyssa and my son Toby from the airport down there. And so for the drive, my wife had decided to bring along some questions that she had gotten in an email that caused you to kind of reflect back on 2022 and then look ahead to 2023. And little did I know when I agreed to go through these questions, how emotional these questions would make us, right? We spent most of the ride down in tears as we reflected really on this past year and really the goodness of God through it all. But my message today, it actually stems from one of those questions. It was actually one of the easier and less emotional questions. It was this question: what character traits or virtues would you like to see developed or grow in your life in this next year? And now, after kind of bouncing some answers back and forth between us, we kind of settled on the fact that in reality, what we want to grow in most is love. That we want to learn to love more like Jesus loved. And really get better at loving unconditionally. And loving those that can be difficult to love. Now, not that any of us have people like that in our lives, right? Who's difficult to love? But that's what we felt. That was kind of our answer, that we just want to learn how to love like Jesus, that we want to learn to love unconditionally. And so this idea of loving like Jesus kind of led me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, a great chapter on love. But before we get into the scripture this morning, I want to share with you a story I came across about an actor who was actually playing the part of Jesus in a passion play. And so as he was carrying the cross up the hill, a tourist began heckling him, began making fun of him and shouting insults at this man who was playing Jesus. Finally, the actor had taken all he could take. So he threw down his cross, walked over to the tourist and punched him right in the face, knocking him to the ground. Now, after the play was over, the director told him, "I know that that guy was a total jerk, but I can't condone you punching people. Besides, you're playing the part of Jesus, and Jesus would never punch people. So I can't have you responding like that again." The man apologized. He said it wouldn't happen again. But the next day, the heckler was back, even worse than before. And once again, the actor exploded, jumped out, and punched the guy. The director said, "That's it. I'm sorry, but I have to fire you. We just can't have you behaving this way while playing the part of Jesus." The actor begged and pleaded, "Please, please give me one more chance. I need this job. I need the money. I promise I can handle it if it happens again." So the director decided to show grace and mercy to him, give him one last shot. So that next day, he was carrying his cross up the street, and sure enough, the heckler was there again. You could tell that the actor was doing everything he could to control himself. He was clenching his fists, grinding his teeth, trying to prevent from doing anything crazy. Finally, he looked up at the heckler and said, "After I'm resurrected, you're dead, buddy." That story makes me laugh, right? And it's because the reality is sometimes it's hard for those who profess to be Christians to behave the way God desires us to behave, especially when we're being heckled by jerks, right? Now, we may try to carry our crosses, but if someone hurts us or treats us unfairly, we can sometimes lose our composure and behave the same way the rest of the world behaves. But the Bible teaches us that we are to be people who walk in love. And so love is the key to the Christian life. That's what I want to talk about this morning. And that's what we will see here in the scriptures. And so if you have your Bible, You can follow along with me as we're going to read the first three verses of 1 Corinthians 13. This is what it says. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. And we're going to stop there this morning. Now, just before Paul begins these verses, at the very end of chapter 12, he says these words, "Now I will show you the most excellent way." That's what he says leading into verse 13. And what he is saying is, I want to show you the best way to take care of every situation. And then he points out in these verses that we just read that love is the key, right? He points out that love is more important than many things that we as Christians consider to be very important. And so I want to look at five of those things this morning that Paul says love is more important than. And so the first one is this. Paul says that love is more important than spiritual gifts. Love is more important than spiritual gifts. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Now, Paul is referring here to the day of Pentecost. When the very first gospel sermon was preached, on that day, God gave the apostles the special gift of tongues to be able to speak in languages that they had never known. They were given this spiritual gift so that the people around them, the people hearing them, could understand what was being said as they were from all different countries. Now, there are many different spiritual gifts that the Lord gives to us. And each of them, they're given for a specific reason. But here in verse 1, Paul is saying that these spiritual gifts, as amazing as they are, they mean nothing if we don't have love. He says that they are nothing more than a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Now, why would he say that? What does he mean by that phrase? Well, here's the thing. Back in the first century, there was a big gong or a cymbal that would hang at the entrance of most pagan temples. And so when people came to worship at these pagan temples, they would hit these gongs to awaken their pagan gods. Aren't you glad we serve a God that is awake all the time, right? But they would clang with this idea of waking these gods. And so Paul is basically saying, if we don't have love, our spiritual gifts are useless, or as useless as a gong used to awaken gods that don't even exist. Our spiritual gifts are nothing if we don't first have love. Now, I hope all of us here are people who desire to seek the spiritual gifts that God has for us. He has gifts, and they can be amazing. There are many great gifts that He gives, but before we go seeking those gifts, I think we first need to be people who seek to walk in love. And I believe that as we learn to walk in love, his gifts will become more and more evident in our lives. And so Paul first tells us that love is more important than spiritual gifts. And then secondly, he tells us that love is more important than knowledge. He says, if I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, but have not love, I am nothing. You see, what Paul is saying here, we can be the smartest person in the world. We can have all the knowledge known to man. But without love, we really have nothing. It's interesting because oftentimes when people look at society and try to analyze what's wrong with our world today, why are we killing and abusing one another? Why do we see so much violence and destruction in our world today? Oftentimes, many of those experts seem to believe that it's a lack of education. If we just educate people better, then we wouldn't have these problems anymore. But here's the thing, I don't think education is the answer unless we're educating them about the love of Jesus. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 8:1. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. When we look out at the world, there are a lot of knowledgeable, puffed up people out there. And their education hasn't helped us, right? They are puffed up and doing all sorts of damage. And so I don't think what we need is more knowledge. I'm pretty sure that we need more love in our world. It's our hearts that need to change because we can know all there is to know about the Bible. We can know all there is to know about being a Christian. But if we're not living out the most important thing, then all of our knowledge really means nothing. It's love that's going to help the problems of this world. And that's why Paul tells us that love is more important than knowledge. And then thirdly, Paul tells us that love is more important than faith. Ooh, wait, what's he saying there, right? He says, if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Now, I want us to realize that he doesn't say faith isn't important. He just says that love is more important than faith. And this is a pretty powerful statement here because we're told in Hebrews 11:6 that it is impossible to please God without faith, right? It's impossible for us to please God without faith. And I'm hoping that all of us here this morning have some sort of faith, something that we believe in. But what is that faith? What is our faith? What is it that we believe? Do we believe that God is the creator of our world? Do we believe that Jesus Christ is his one and only Son? Do we believe that Jesus came into the world some 2,000 years ago and lived a sinless life? That he then died on a cross and was buried and then on the third day rose again? Do we believe that he is now ascended and is with the Father preparing a place for us and that one day soon he will come back, he will come once again? Do we believe that he's given us the Holy Spirit as a guide and counselor? What is it that we believe? If we believe all these things, that's awesome because that is the Christian faith. But Paul is telling us if we believe all these things yet don't love one another, then our beliefs mean absolutely nothing. Because not even faith has value unless it's backed by love, the love of Jesus. Jesus points this out actually in the story of the Good Samaritan. I think most of us, if we were raised in church, we've heard the story of the Good Samaritan, and maybe even if you weren't raised in church. But in that story, you have the priest and the Levite, the spiritual leaders, right? They're the ones that had faith. The problem was they lacked love. If you remember in the story, those two religious leaders, they were the ones that walked around, right? They walked on the other side of the road and just left the man there to die because they were worried about becoming unclean. They were worried about themselves. Like Paul says in Galatians 5:6, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. This is why Paul tells us that love is more important than faith. We need love to back up our faith in Jesus, right? And then the fourth thing he tells us here is this: love is more important than generosity. He says, if I give all I possess to the poor, but have not love, I gain nothing, right? If I give everything, if I empty out my checking account, if I give away all my retirement funds, if I sell my house, if I cash in my insurance policies, if I sit on the corner with nothing but what I'm wearing and give everything away to others, but I don't have love, then I'm nothing. You see, we have to understand it's not just about giving. Yeah, giving is great. We want to be givers. We want to be generous. We're called to be generous. I think this church, we've talked about that earlier today, our church is generous. But it's not about what we give or how much we give. It's really about why. Why do we give? Do we give because we just heard a sermon on giving? Do we give because we feel guilty if we don't? Do we give because we want to impress others? Do we give because we're afraid God will do something if we don't give to, you know? Uh-oh, God's going to see that I didn't give. He's going to do something. Do we give because, well, we think we'll get more? Oh, I'm going to give because then I'll get more. You see, none of these are reasons why we should give. If the only reason we give is to receive or to benefit ourselves, then love is absent from our giving. And our giving is empty. Our motive for giving should always be love. Love for God and love for others. That's the mission statement here at this church, right? That's why we give, because we love God and we love people. And we want to see His kingdom extended. We want to see other people experience His love. Love is more important than generosity. And then the fifth and final thing that Paul tells us here is that love is more important than our own lives. He says, if I surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. And he's talking about being a martyr here, right? Because in this time, many Christians were being martyred. He's talking about being so faithful and so committed to God that you end up dying because of your faith. How deep is our faith? How deep is our commitment? Are we willing to lay down our life for God if it came to that? What Paul is basically saying is that even if we go to church regularly, even if we read our Bible faithfully, if we pray and do all the things that a Christian person should do, even give up our lives for God, it won't mean anything if it's not done in love, if it's not done for Jesus. So throughout these scriptures, Paul has told us that love, it's more important than anything, right? It's more important than the spiritual gifts. It's more important than any knowledge. It's more important than our faith even. It's more important than generosity, and it's more important than our own lives. He wants us to realize that love is bigger than most of us realize. When it comes to our relationship with Jesus, it's one of the most important things that we need to know and that we need to understand. And the thing is, it's actually a command that God gives to us. We are commanded to love. But listen to John 13:34. It says this, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. I think oftentimes we think of love as something that just happens to us, right? We fall into love just like we can fall into a ditch, right? Or we fall out of love just like we can fall out of a tree. As if it's something that, well, I can't help. It just happened. I fell into love. I fell out of love, right? But the Bible teaches us that love is something that we can actually control. We have to choose to love. God commands us to love each other, even when it's hard. Even when that person ticked you off or upset you, we are called to choose to love them, to love the Lord. We have the ability to love. And what kind of love are we talking about here? Well, it's the same kind of love that Jesus showed us. It's a love that simply puts others first. Philippians 2:4 says this, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. How often do we do that in our world today? Man, in our world today, it's all about me. And I know I'm guilty. Yesterday, I made things all about me. I know it's so easy for us to do. But the kind of love that Jesus desires from us is a love that always puts others first. And think about this. Can you imagine? Just think about that. If we learn to love in this way, putting others first, can you imagine how different our world would be? If everyone who said, yeah, I'm a believer, I follow Jesus, I'm a Christian, if everyone who said they were Christians, if they truly loved others in this way, if they truly believed that love was the most important thing, or as Paul said, this is the most excellent way, right? If we truly believe that it was the most excellent way, that love was more important than any of these things, I can guarantee you that the world we live in would be a completely different place. Because right now our world is lacking in love. So if we want to be people who truly make a difference in our world, then I believe we need to learn to love, and we need to learn to love first. Because isn't that what Jesus did? Right? When you look at Jesus, when you go into the scriptures, when you read the gospels, Jesus didn't arrive on the scene and start pointing fingers, right, at all the failures of the people around him. I don't read that when I look through the scriptures. What I see is that Jesus simply loved people right where they at. He loved people that even the religious leaders seemed to hate. He had love and compassion for all people, even for those who persecuted him, right? As he's on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I want to finish with a story about a missionary named Doug Nichols, who actually went to India to share the gospel. And it's really funny, as I found this story, I was like, oh, I remember this story. I've read this story before. I looked through all my notes of all my sermons, and I couldn't find this story. So maybe I just read it but ended up not using it. If you've heard this before, well, it's good anyway. So I don't know if I've used this in a message before or not. I know I've read this before. But it's about a missionary named Doug Nichols, and he went to India to share the gospel. And this is what he says. While I was just starting to study the language, I became infected with tuberculosis and had to be put in a sanitarium. It was not a very good place to be. It was not very clean, and conditions were difficult because there were so many sick people there and so crowded. But I decided to do the best I could considering the circumstances. So I took a bunch of Christian books and tracts, and I tried to witness to other patients in the sanitarium. But when I tried to pass out tracts, I was rejected. No one wanted them. I tried to hand out books, but no one would take them. I tried to witness, but I was handicapped because of my inability to communicate in their language, and I felt so discouraged. Because of my illness, I would be there a long time, and it seemed like the work I'd been sent to do was failing because no one would listen to me. Because of my tuberculosis, every night at about 2 o'clock, I would wake up with chronic coughing that just wouldn't stop. Then one night when I awoke, I noticed across the aisle an old man trying to get out of bed. The man would roll himself up into a little ball and teeter back and forth trying to get the momentum to stand on his feet. But he just couldn't do it. He was too weak. After several attempts, the old man gave up and laid down weeping. The next morning, I realized why the man was weeping. He was trying to get up to go to the bathroom, and he didn't have enough strength to do it, and so his bed was a mess, and there was a smell in the air. The other patients made fun of the old man. The nurses who came to clean up his bed, they weren't kind to him either. In fact, one of the nurses even slapped him in the face. The old man just laid there and cried. That next night, about 2 o'clock, I started coughing again. I looked across the way, and again, I saw the old man trying to get out of bed. I really didn't want to do it, but somehow I managed to get up and walk across the aisle and help the old man stand up. As I stood him up, he was too weak to walk. So I took him in my arms and carried him like a baby. He was so light, it wasn't that difficult. I took him into the bathroom, which was nothing more than a dirty hole in the floor, and stood beside him and cradled him in my arms as he took care of himself. Then I carried him back to his bed and laid him down. As I turned to leave, he reached up, grabbed my face, pulled me close, and kissed me on the cheek. He said what I think was, "Thank you." The next morning, there were patients around my bed when I awoke, and they asked if they could read some of the books and tracts that I brought. Others had questions about the God I worshiped and the way that I loved. They wanted to know about his one and only son who came into the world to die for their sins. In the next few weeks, I gave out all the literature I had brought, and many of the doctors, nurses, and patients in that sanitarium came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. This is an amazing story of loving people like Jesus, loving people that God puts in our path. I've heard it said, they will not care how much you know until they know how much you care. All Doug Nichols did was show love to a man that he didn't even know. And it ended up impacting the kingdom of God greatly there in India. You see, I've discovered that love is the key. It's what's most important. Because like Paul tells us here in 1 Corinthians 13, without love, we're nothing. Amen? So I want to learn to love more like Jesus. That's my goal for 2023. Will you pray with me? Lord, I thank you so much for your word. And Lord, as I read through these things, I'm reminded that, Lord, I don't always love the way that you desire me to. That oftentimes I can be selfish and put myself and my own desires first. But Lord, that's not my desire. I truly want to be a man of God who serves you. I truly want to be a man of God who puts you first, who loves first, who loves unconditionally. And so, Lord, I know that I can't do this in my own strength. I know the only way that I'm going to truly be able to love the way you've called me to love is through the power of your Spirit, Lord. That as I seek to love you, Lord, that you will fill me with your Spirit, that you will fill me with the things of the Spirit to be able to love and care for others in the way that you desire me to. And so, Lord, when I fall short, I pray that you help me to continue to seek forgiveness, to continue to get on my face and seek more of you, Lord. Because, Lord, you are love. You don't just love, you are love. And the more I seek you, the more I can learn to love the way you have called me to love. And so my desire, and I hope the desire for all of us in this next year, is to draw closer to you, to learn to love you more so that we can learn to experience your love in a way that drives us to love others in the way that you love others, Lord. And so, Lord, we thank you for this word. Again, you know, my heart and desire is to always decrease so that you might increase. And as we hear these words this morning, each of us, wherever we're at, Lord, we're all on this journey of life. Some of us have said yes to you. Some of us are new in that relationship. Some of us have been doing it for years, but we all continue to struggle. Some of us maybe haven't said yes to you. And Lord, wherever we're at, Lord, I just pray that you continue to draw us to you. And that, Lord, we would learn as we seek you, that the greatest of all is love. That, Lord, we want to be people who operate in the Spirit. We want to be people who have faith, Lord. We want to be generous. We want to be all these things. We want to have your knowledge as we read through the Scriptures, Lord. All those things aren't bad. But the most important thing is love. And without love, none of these things mean anything. And so, Lord, teach us how to love and to take and be able to use these things for your glory. To be able to truly give our life to you because we love you and we want to honor you with it, Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, we know it's all about love. Teach us how to love. Help us to be people of love. In our weakness, Lord, it says that you are made strong. And so, Lord, we give you our weaknesses and pray that you come and move in us to help us become who you've called us to be, Lord. To choose to love even when it's difficult, Lord. To follow the commands that you have for us, Lord. And so we thank you. And I just thank you, Lord, that you are a God of grace and forgiveness. Because like I said, I messed this up yesterday. But I'm thankful for your grace and mercy, Lord. I want to continue to love the way you've called me to love. I want to be the man of God that you've called me to be. I pray that for all of us, Lord. Thank you for this next year. Thank you that you are a God who is good all the time. And all the time you are good. And so we give you this message. We give you this word. We give you our lives, Lord. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.